just pray for Robin as he comes to share with us. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the things you've put on Rob's heart to share with us now. And we ask, Lord, that you'd speak through him and that we, Lord, may have our hearts open to receive and hear what you say. Thank you, Father. Amen.
So I know you know all about 2 Corinthians and the background, so I won't need to go into all that. It's a test, not a test. I'm going to give you a little exercise first I'd like you to do. First of all, would you like to put up the hand you write with? Okay, this is your strongest hand, okay? I would like you to look at your strongest hand in front of you, and you'll notice there are five. Mostly, we'll have 5 digits. Some may not have 5 digits. That's okay. If you've got 5 digits, then I'd like you to think of 5 things that you are good at. Okay, 5 things that you're good at. These are your strengths. Now just tell yourself what they are. You know, 5 things. Not to be the 5 best things in the world. Any old 5 things that you're quite good at. You might be able to make a cake. You might be good at gardening. You might be good on the computer. You might be able to text with your thumb. I don't know. Five things that you're good at. Have you got 5? No. Okay, so pretend you've got 5. If you haven't got 5, think about it later. The other hand, you've got another hand. Most of us, this hand's not quite so good. So this is our weak hand. So this hand's going to be our weaknesses. 5 fingers on this hand. I would like you to think of 5 weaknesses now that you've got. And think about them. 5 things that you're not so good at. Or you know you can't do, where you mess up quite a lot. If you're married, your partner will probably be able to help you with this one. There is prayer ministry afterwards, counselling. So you've got these 2 hands. Keep them in mind. A hand of strengths, a hand of weaknesses. Because we're thinking a bit about strengths and weaknesses. Strength and weakness today. Now, you're having a new vicar, I hear. I've seen his picture. It looks very nice, a bit young. Very nice, young family coming. And you've done that exercise, haven't you? Lately, have you done that exercise as a church? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? You've written a parish profile, which tells people exactly what you're like. It's quite hard to write those parish profiles. It's quite hard to know quite how positive you should sound. If you're all strengths, you know, and you're telling everybody we are fantastic, we are brilliant and all that, it might put people off a bit, or they might turn up and be a bit disappointed. So you have to be a bit careful with your strengths. You don't want to sound too self-satisfied. But you don't want to sound hopeless either. You don't want to put people off, do you, by all those weaknesses and terrible things that you haven't got. You don't want too many of those. It's a bit of a juggle, a bit of a balancing act. And maybe you did that a little bit when you were writing your parish profile. Because obviously the strengths and weaknesses of a church really reflect the strengths and weaknesses of all the individual members of the church. And that's where they come from. How are you going to hide them? Disguise them? Or should you do that anyway? What do you do with strength? Paul calls it boasting. It's not so much the sort of I am the greatest sort of boast. It's celebrating the things that you're really good at. And that's not a bad thing to do. What is it as a church or as an individual that you're proud of? What were the 5 things that came up on your strong hand? It seems to me the Corinthian church, and you've no doubt heard a bit about them, they would probably be quite good at the right hand or the writing hand because they thought quite highly of themselves. They were quite a big cosmopolitan place. They probably had quite a lot of funding. They would have grown like mad. They got their own leaders. They managed, you know, like a real proper church, they'd managed to split into 3 or 4 different groups, you know, and they were going places in Corinth. They had lots of spiritual gifts. You know, their services, when they gather, they were so noisy, people couldn't hear anybody speak. It was really quite successful. And they really looked down a bit on this Paul character, this little chap who came along and wrote them really stiff, nasty letters. And then when they met him in person, he didn't seem quite as impressive. And he wasn't quite measuring up to their standards. And they saw themselves as being in a position to judge whether or not Paul was a leader that they would want to listen to and follow. He didn't meet up to their standards, their strengths. He wasn't a powerful speaker. We pick that up through the New Testament. His voice, his speeching wasn't quite as strong as his letter writing. Maybe diplomacy wasn't his strong point. He didn't sort of creep enough to them and build them up enough. Maybe he didn't have the spiritual depth that they thought that they had, with secret knowledge and deep things that they understood. Maybe he didn't have enough gifts on show for them, spiritual gifts, which is what you want in a leader, obviously. He hadn't had enough success. He was too often squashed and imprisoned and knocked back. He wanted someone with a good reputation. And Paul's dilemma is, how do I build up this church without reinforcing these unbalanced standards that they have? How can I be real with them, he's thinking. Should he try to meet their expectations, major on his vast spiritual experiences? And so he goes through, this third heaven he talks about. That sounds very exciting, doesn't it? We've been in Bible studies where we've tried to work out what that is. We discuss about it. What does he mean? Was he in the body? Was he out of the body? We're not quite sure. Is it him? Is it somebody else? We're not quite sure. There's a reason why you're not quite sure. It's because Paul thinks you don't need to know. You don't need to know that. He's wanting you to know that this is some information, some experience that he's got, but it's not important. You don't need to know about all that. That's not what he wants to base what he's saying on. Have you ever had that feeling? If only you'd had that sort of experience, taken up to the heavens, met with Jesus face to face, even in a vision, or, had that angel meeting that people write about in books. If I only had that, you think sometimes, my faith would be so much stronger. And Paul is saying, that's not the way. It's not that you need. He's not denying the facts of any of those things. Of such a one, he says, I will boast. These things happen, but the idea that such experiences confer authority or superiority on him or on anyone else, he doesn't want to grasp at that. Of myself, he says, I will not boast. He wants to boast about something else. There's some other qualification that Paul wants to rest on, and I think it's very reassuring and refreshing, because what Paul is saying is, strength is not what we're going to build this thing on. What we're going to sell you is weakness. Weakness is what Paul wants to talk about. He talks about his thorn in the flesh. This is another good Bible study exercise. Let's think about what it might be. What might Paul's thorn in the flesh have been? And you can read lots of books about it. It might be his eyesight. Some people reckon his eyesight wasn't very good. Some people reckon he had migraines, suddenly couldn't focus, couldn't do things. Some sort of recurrent attacks, IBS or something, I don't know. Maybe he was just grumpy sometimes, had a bad temper. Always a bad day today, that Paul. He can't do things because he's too fed up. Maybe he wasn't really a very good speaker. He might have had a stutter or something, because he does have other people speaking. Thing is, we don't know. And the reason we don't know is we don't need to know what it was. What we need to know is that Paul had a weakness that he wasn't able to overcome. And the reason he wasn't able to overcome it was this: it was useful to God. It was useful to God. It wasn't something that needed removing or overcoming. It was something that God was going to use in Paul. God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace he said, is sufficient for you. I wonder if you've ever considered that your weakness might be how God will best use you. I'm not talking about the thing that we euphemistically call a moment of weakness, which in the old language we used to call sin. That's not what I'm talking about. You might have a weakness for internet pornography or for beating up your wife or husband. That's not the sort of weakness God is going to use. We call that a sin, and we just call it that. What we're talking about are things that on your own you can't do to do God's work. You know that you're not going to be able to see that all the way through. And that sort of weakness is very valuable for God if you will let him use it. It's anything that makes us incapable of achieving what God wants on our own. That's what God says to Paul, and he says it to you and me. Don't be self-sufficient. If you seek to be self-sufficient, have all the skills and abilities and knowledge and all those things, then you will be closing a door to God's grace. God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Our weakness is a doorway for God's grace. You think about the great leaders that you've known, and you probably know different ones to me because I'm old now. I was thinking back, people that I've seen, you know, have really impressed me and helped me on my Christian journey, people like John Wimber. See how old I am. You remember John Wimber? Started Vineyard Church and all that. And he came and spoke. It was fantastic to listen to, great to speak. But he quite quickly fed into the whole thing was, my son is a delinquent. You know, he's in prison, in and out of prison. You know, we look after him, but, you know, he's a real problem. And you sat there thinking, oh, I didn't know you were allowed to have them in your family if you were a great teacher. Or even older than that, the great David Watson from York, who did York Minster and all those things. That was all very exciting. Read his book and you find a man who went out and spoke to hundreds and thousands of people and really impressed them and was so urbane and peaceful and impressive, you know. He was almost sick every time he had to go out and speak because of crippling self-doubt. And he had to have people to persuade him every time that he was able to go out and that God would be with him. I've even got into this business by a vicar who later on was quite important for me. I had to go to a healing training. There was a healing training in Coventry. We were a bit scared, but we thought, well, I'll go. We'll see what it's like. And we went, and the vicar got up. He was doing the preaching, and he produced a guitar. And he said, we'll do some worship. And he played the guitar. It was terrible. It was terrible. It was all out of tune. It wasn't tuned up. And it was so bad that at the end, because I played the guitar, I went up and said, will you like me to bring a guitar next week? And I'll play the guitar for you. And he ended up several years later as my vicar when I was a curate. Graham Dow, you might have heard of him too. Sometimes weaknesses are what God uses. In fact, always, it seems, weaknesses are what God uses. It's that moment when you say you'll do something or you find yourself in a position and you make that very holy prayer, which is, Uek, how did I get here? What am I doing here? I'm not capable of doing this. If you step out in weakness, then you've opened the door to grace. My strength, says God, is made perfect in weakness. Do you see your weakness as something which disables you from doing things or excuses you from doing things? Do you see it as something that must be overcome before you can do anything? Or can you see it as a blessing? If a weakness is something that makes us incapable of achieving what God wants on our own, that makes us not self-sufficient, then we can step out in faith. In fear and trembling, yes, but we open the doors for grace in that situation so God can come in his power. Then we stop getting in the way. So your new vicar, when he comes, is going to have lots of strengths. lots of abilities, things that you are missing and you'll be grateful for. And there'll be great things that he will share with you and the family will share with you. But perhaps one of the greatest gifts that he's going to bring is his weakness, the bits where he's not self-sufficient, because that is where God's strength will be able to break through. So what do you do with weakness? Are there any things that you feel God might have poked you gently in the ribs about over the last few weeks or months? You know, help with the Pathfinders, or help with this team, or be on this rota. And you've thought, oh, I can't possibly, you know, I'm not able to do that because I'm ill, or I'm too old, or too young, got lots of other things to do, I couldn't possibly fit it in. You know, all the reasons that we have for not hearing what God says, those are not reasons for not doing it. Those are weaknesses that God can use. And when you're not able, then God's grace is sufficient. Just a little picture I had occurred to me just sitting there. I've been very kindly put up by Pete and Chris in their beautiful home. It's very posh. And they've got a beautiful bathroom with one of these freestanding baths. Did people know this? And one of those posh shower things. It's a bit too posh for me. I don't quite know what to do with it. But anyway, there it is. And I managed to have a sort of shower with this shower, but inadvertently, I managed to fill my ear with water. I don't know how that happened. But then for the last 2 days, I haven't been able to hear anything out of my left ear. And it's a bit irritating, you know. I'm used to not listening to my wife, but everything else makes it difficult. So, and I was just standing there, and that song came off that we were singing about God's grace. And as I sang those words, it went clear. I thought, thank you, Lord, that's good. But then I thought, maybe some of us are in that position, that God has been saying something, and we've been having a deaf ear for a while. And we know he's been saying something, but actually when we say, your grace is enough, then God can open that up and come in. I just leave that as a possibility. If God has been speaking and prompting you and you've been feeling too weak to respond, then don't. My strength, says God, is made perfect in weakness. Look at your hands. These are Christ's hands, both of them, the strong one and the weak one. We used to teach our children to pray by putting those hands together. So I'm going to let you do that now. We'd like to put your strong hand and your weak hand together. Both of these things God has given to us. They're both blessings. So let us pray. Lord, I give you my strengths. Make me willing to use them in serving you. Lord, I give you to my weaknesses. Set me free to serve you in all things. May your strength be made perfect in my weakness too. Amen.